Sydney Local Planning Panel. On behalf of the Local Planning Panel, I would like to acknowledge the original custodians of the land we are on, the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation, and pay my respects to their elders both past and present. The Local Planning Panel also acknowledges the present Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people who reside within this area. The meeting today is to consider the development applications listed in the agenda. Panel members have read the agenda papers for the meeting and submissions received and have had a briefing from council staff on items on the agenda. The panel members for this matter are myself, Stephen Layman, as the independent chair, Helena Miller, and Peter Romy as independent expert members, am I right? And on my left, community representative John McInerney. I note that the quorum is 3 for this meeting. I welcome everybody to the meeting. Please be assured that the panel will be making its decisions tonight on the planning merits of each application and following consideration of the views expressed in submissions and by people addressing the panel tonight. Determinations of any relevant decision of the panel shall be by a majority of votes of members present at the meeting and entitled to vote. If votes are tied, the chair will have the casting vote. As an important transparency measure, the reasons for our decisions will be recorded in the minutes as part of the decision. Where the panel goes against or amends the officer's recommendation, the panel will state the reasons. The manager planning assessments will provide an overview of each development application as they are considered, key issues raised, and the recommendations of council staff. We will then hear from members of the public who have registered to speak, followed by the applicant and or applicant's representatives who may like to address the issues raised by members of the public. Please note that there is a 3-minute time limit for each speaker and a bell will ring at 3 minutes. I should add, if there's further things questions that the panel may have, we will ask them and there'll be a further opportunity to respond. I ask that each speaker be heard in silence while they're addressing the panel and that courtesy and respect be observed throughout this meeting. Please ensure that there is no personal criticism directed at any speaker or council staff. Any such criticism would be contrary to the panel's code of conduct and will not be accepted by the panel. The panel may ask questions of speakers to clarify our understanding of what is being said. If you have registered to speak, your address to the panel will be recorded. All the public meetings of the panels are recorded and the recordings are available on the City's website. Please note that there is to be no recording or filming of this meeting other than this. After hearing from speakers, the panel will consider and make its decision on each application. This may involve adjourning the meeting to confer amongst ourselves before reconvening the meeting to make our decision, or we might make our decision without the need to adjourn. If the panel considers more information is required before making its decision, the panel may defer its decision for consideration at a later date. Item 1 of the agenda, disclosures of interest. In accordance with Clause 4.9 of the Code of Conduct for Local Planning Panel members, all panel members have signed a declaration of interest in relation to each matter on the agenda. Mr. McInerney disclosed an interest in item 3, section 8.2, review of determination 21 O'Connor Street, Chippendale, RD/2018/1360/A, as he sat on the local planning panel on 18 September 2018, which determined the original development application being D/2018/1360. Mr. McInerney is required to step out for deliberations and voting on item 3 in accordance with part 2 clause 2.1 of schedule 1 of the section 9.1 direction of the minister, which requires the determination of a review of application from a panel decision to be determined by different members of the panel to those who made the original decision. No members disclosed any other pecuniary or non-pecuniary interests in any matter on the agenda for this meeting of the local planning panel. Item 2, confirmation of minutes. The panel notes the minutes of the local planning panel of 7 August, which have been endorsed by the chair of that meeting. I note that Mr. McInerney has left the room. Item 3. Section 8.2, Review of Determination 21 O'Connor Street, Chippendale, RD/2018/1360/A. We have a presentation from...
Thank you. Thank you. So this application seeks a review of a previous refusal of the local planning panel. The application is for alterations and additions to an existing mixed-use warehouse building, and the alterations and additions are to include a commercial studio, a courtyard and a garage on the ground floor, internal reconfiguration of the first floor, demolition and reconstruction of a new second floor addition, the first and second floor to provide for residential accommodation. The plans before the local planning panel tonight are an amended version of those that were previously refused, and the application as amended is recommended for approval subject to conditions. The application was notified in June and July of this year. 67 owners and occupiers were notified and one submission was received. The submission was an anonymous submission, and it related to the potential adverse impact of the development on on-street parking. So this is a site. It's located on the corner of O'Connor Street and Smithers Street in Chippendale. And this is a view of the existing building on the site on the corner of O'Connor Street. So the existing building is a former commercial building. It incorporates commercial and residential uses. It's previously had a second floor addition, which you can see in the photograph, which includes a terrace at the upper level coming right to the front boundary of the site. This is a view of the site from Smithers Street. In terms of the proposal, the next set of slides show the floor plans of the development. So the lower plan is the ground floor. It has a small commercial studio, a garage space. The existing vehicle access for that garage space exists on site. You can see the yellow doors in the photograph. There's a recreation room, small courtyard, and within that courtyard there is stair access to the upper levels. On the first floor, the upper floor, the top floor plan, you have a study, two bedrooms and a bathroom. That's a lower level of the residential accommodation. And then above that, on the second floor, the reconfigured upper level addition, you have the living area, a bedroom and a bathroom and kitchen facilities. So these elevations show the difference between what was previously refused by the local planning panel on the left-hand side and what is now proposed. So the major change is the deletion of the rooftop deck and balustrade and stair access that was proposed, and a reconfiguration of that top floor level. So those are the proposed, or the previously refused and the now proposed west elevation, which is the Smithers Street elevation of the building. This is the comparison of the refused and proposed east elevation, the refused and proposed north elevation of the development. This is the refused Smithers Street elevation and what is now proposed. So you can see the main difference is the bulk and scale of that upper level addition, the deletion of that rooftop space and stair access. In terms of compliance with the key development controls, there is a non-compliance with the 9-metre height limit that applies to the site. The proposed development will have a maximum height of 9.56 metres. That's a 6.22% variation to the control. It should be noted the existing building also does not comply with the 9-metre height limit and is of a similar height to what is now proposed. In terms of floor space ratio, the development also exceeds the 1.5 to 1 floor space ratio control for the site. It will have a floor space ratio of 1.89 to 1. This is actually a reduction of approximately 15 square meters of floor space over what is currently existing on the site. And that comes about as a result of the introduction of the void space with the stair access in it on the corner, on the northern section of the building, and also the introduction of the garage car parking space, which is not counted as floor space. So that's a 26.3% non-compliance. Both those non-compliances are supported by a clause 4.6 variation request, which are supported by council officers. In terms of the DCP, there is a height in stories control of 2 stories, which applies to the site. The proposed development will have 3 stories. The existing building also is a 3-story built form. So the issues essentially are the height and FSR non-compliances, and also there's an issue which is addressed by conditions of consent relating to the layout and use of that first and second floor of the building. In terms of the height non-compliance, the proposed height is only 0.15 meters higher than the existing building, and that allows for the top floor to meet the minimum floor-to-ceiling height under the BCA. The roof terrace has been removed from the original proposal, and the design and appearance of the addition has been amended to reduce the bulk and scale of the proposal. The height of the building, or the extent of the non-compliance, will not result in any significant adverse impacts over and in comparison with the existing built form. In terms of the non-compliance with the floor space ratio, the proposal results in a small decrease in the gross floor area due to the installation of the void and the provision of car parking space. The existing FSR on the site, 2.11 to 1, the proposed FSR will be 1.89 to 1. That's a reduction of approximately 15 square meters. Again, the non-compliance with the floor space ratio standard is not considered to result in significant adverse impacts in comparison with the existing built form of the development on the site. In terms of the layout and use of the building, the application seeks consent for a single dwelling over 2 levels. Each level is connected by an external stair and is capable, at least in plan form, of being self-contained. The use of levels 1 and 2 as 2 separate dwellings is not supported due to insufficient private open space and privacy issues requiring residential floors to be used as a single dwelling and to prohibit, the issues to be addressed by conditions of consent requiring the residential components to be used as a single dwelling and preventing the strata subdivision of those 2 floors into separate dwellings. So the application is recommended for approval subject to conditions. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. I have 1 speaker listed, Christian Grennan, architect. Please come forward. And you have a button on the right-hand side of your phone.
Okay, thank you. We just have a question about the conditions of consent, so condition number 2. And we're wondering whether that condition could be removed because our understanding is that we would need council approval for strata subdivision anyway.
It's an expression of a concern that council has about the possible multiple occupancy, perhaps even 3 dwellings on that land, in my view. What reassurance might you be able to give that it will indeed be used as a single occupancy? How can we make that clear to any future owner of the land? Because the consent goes with the land, as you know, not with the applicant.
So the applicant currently has a disabled daughter, and that's one of the reasons for dividing the property to give some sort of independence between the different floors. That's the logic behind it, so that there's sort of independence between the parents and the next level. I mean, currently it is already a mixed use. In terms of what the future holds, I don't know, obviously. However, my understanding is that if someone did wish to subdivide, strata subdivide, they would need approval anyway. So in that case, they would need to come back soon and ask approval for that. So in a sense, what is that that condition actually doing?
That's something to consider in my view about the words and must not be strata subdivided. I don't see a problem with the words residential accommodation must be used as a single dwelling.
Yes, that's, I think that's
not
that makes
fettering
sense.
You in any unreasonable way, is it? And no. It's not presupposing any future development application.
No. No, that's fine.
Would you like to comment, Mr. Thomas?
So I think part of the rationale for putting that condition on is that there are privacy concerns about having two separate dwellings. And if the two occupants of the dwellings were not related, so you've got to access one apartment via the other through that shared staircase. So I suppose that's the concern driving that particular condition. Yeah, and part of our concern is that it could be considered it could be strata subdivide as exempt development by a private certifier, so it could be taken out of council's hands. So if that's the reason why we've got that condition on there. There's no minimum lot size.
Thank you. Thomas, is there any discussion from the panel on this?
I was just going to say it seems reasonable to me because there are privacy issues. If it wasn't, if there wasn't a problem and it was you weren't sort of approving something that potentially could be separately occupied and separately subdivided, then I can understand why you wouldn't want the condition. But in this case, because there is issues, if that were to happen, it makes sense to include that now as a condition so that anybody in the future knows that that's the case.
Yes.
I guess so. Would it then be acceptable to? Would it then be acceptable to then say that it must be used as a single dwelling, or does it necessarily have to say must not be strata subdivided?
Mr. Thomas,
our preference is to say that it must not be strata subdivided, so it really makes it clear to a private certifier that. It isn't something that would be considered, and it would need to come back. We'd need to come back to council to vary this condition. Mm. So we have concerns about privacy. If the owner, a proponent, put their minds to a scheme that could address the privacy issues, then they could come back and vary that condition and then lodge a separate application.
Can I just clarify? I think there was an open space requirement issue as well, so it wouldn't only be the privacy issue.
I think there'd be a whole series of requirements and issues if you did need to or did want to strata subdivide. Obviously, with the apartment design guide, there'd be all sorts of issues which you don't comply with, and then a private certifier would surely not be able to do that under exempt development. I would have thought, but.
Well, my advice is that they can do a subdivision under exempt development.
Okay, I think that's sufficient discussion. I just would add that I think there are other avenues for you in the future if it becomes a difficulty. I mean, you can apply to modify that condition as part of an application or in conjunction with an application for private subdivision should that arise in the future. But I think for abundant caution, I'm persuaded to leave it in. Are we in a position to take a vote on that?
Yes, I'd agree with that. I think we should keep the condition in for now and you can amend it later if need be.
I agree with that.
So can we have a vote on the matter? All those in favour of the recommendation, say aye. Yep.
Aye.
Aye. Carried. 3-1. 3-0.
May I just ask a peripheral question which is not related to the approval? The building is not a heritage item. I notice on your demolition plan that you propose to relocate and reuse the door safe door. So there's a substantial safe on the ground floor, I see.
It was used as a jewellery workshop and it has quite an interesting history. It was originally a single dwelling, just a small building, and it's over time grown into the building that it is. So, yes, they used to store silver and gold in there.
There's no condition of consent relating to this, but have you worked out where you will or where you might reuse or relocate that door?
It is located on the plans. It's hung on a wall, basically. It's not physically used. It is a very heavy door, so we can't, unfortunately, include it to the kids' bedrooms and lock them up.
Thank you. Mr. McInerney rejoins the panel. Item 4, development application, 5040 Church Street, Newtown, D/2019/225. Start with a presentation from Bill Mackay.
Thank you. So this application seeks consent for a subdivision of a small parcel of land and partial road closure, and the issue of the first title of that component for the proposed closure. The application's recommended for approval, subject to conditions. It was notified in March and April of this year, 242. Owners and occupiers were notified once submission was received. The submission essentially asked questions in relation to the application as opposed to made objection to the application. So the submission came from a nearby resident on the opposite side of the street. This plan shows the location of the submission identified in blue and the location of the land, the subject of the subdivision identified in red. By way of background, there was a council resolution to rescind the road widening back in the 1980s, and I understand the adjoining landowner is in negotiations with council to purchase the land. So this is a site, it's on the east side of Church Street, and this is a view of the site as currently exists. So it includes a pathway connecting the road to the adjoining site, and a tree, and a little bit of landscaping. This is the subdivision plan. The area of the land is 89.4 square metres. The application is recommended for approval, subject to conditions. The site is to be consolidated with the adjoining property. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. I have one speaker listed, Jeffrey Hilton. Please come forward.
Sorry, I'll start again. I do apologise. I was saying that I'm here for more abundant caution. I don't want to push against an open door, and I don't want to waste the panel's time. I am the owner and controlling. Well, I control the company that owns the land adjacent to that strip of land. In other words, the 180 to 182 Church Street. Oh, you did that, sorry. I beg your pardon. I'm here to answer any questions, but you will observe, even in that photograph that was taken by the council, the rubbish that's dumped on that strip of land. It's just terrible. And I propose to consolidate it with my own land and look after it. I have a document which was the submission I sent to council back in 2016. You may or may not have seen it, but it sets out the reasons behind my dealings with the council to acquire the land. If it matters by way of background, this issue has been going on for 33 years. Council back in 1986 resolved to sell this land to me, but never notified us. I was the owner back then, or my company was. Any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Thank you. I'm just curious, actually, how you intend to use the land, not that it's sort of directly related to this application.
Yes. Well, the answer is, I've been waiting for so long that as we sit here, I haven't decided. What should I continue? Yes. So, what you might see, what you can't see, but so I'll let you know. So, you have that strip of land, which, using round numbers, is 90 square metres. Then behind it is just vacant land of about 250 square metres. And then behind that is a three-storey walk-up residential flat building that was built by the subject company, my company, in the mid-1960s. And it offers six studios and three one-bedroom apartments. What I'm exploring at the moment is the possibility of building similar accommodation on the remaining land.
Okay, thank you. Well, that'll be subject to another application.
Of course, I've got
the scope of tonight's.
Absolutely, but you asked me, and I'm happy to.
I'm very grateful for that. I was just curious to know whether we're just going to landscape it. I suppose you'd do that in the short term.
I certainly will do all of that, because it'll be better than that, and I'll try and do something about the people who use that strip of land to paint graffiti on the adjacent.
Well, we've heard about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Any discussion from the panel?
Sorry, I don't have any questions. Thank you for that.
Just one question about the existing building. I assume that vehicular access is via Fitzgerald Street.
That is correct. No one uses that. That's just a walkway, a pedestrian walkway, in fact, whatever it may be on the title.
Thank you. Are we in a position to make a determination? Can I move that the recommendation be adopted? All those in favour, please indicate verbally.
Aye.
Good-o. So that's a unanimous decision to adopt the recommendation. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and thank you also to the council officers, including Mr. Parkinson, who have facilitated this. I'm grateful. Thank you.
Thank you. That being the last item on the agenda, I think I can now declare the meeting closed.